Would you turn with me to the epistle, first epistle of Peter, the first chapter? Both epistles we are going to go into this morning, and just briefly, I just feel led a little differently in regard to the message. But the theme of this message is, this morning, not willing that any should perish. That's God's desire this morning. And I love this passage in Peter, in both epistles. And we're going to go briefly through it and kind of summarize to make the point of how encouraging it is. Brother Dennis's theme of his Bible class this morning was encouragement. And I trust the Holy Spirit is going to continue that this morning with us and encourage us to step out in faith. The testimonies that we heard this morning, I recall Kath and I were shopping at, I think we were at Dierbergs. I'm not sure. It was years ago, several years ago. And if maybe some of you remember, I had a fatty tumor that was on my neck. And people saw it, and I knew I should get it taken care of. And it had come back when I was a much younger man. And I just hesitated. You know, you hate to go to the doctor, and I don't want to go through all that business. And in any event, we were there shopping, and this lady came up to me, total stranger. And she said, "Sir, I notice you have a tumor on your neck." He says, "I'd like to pray for you." And I was just caught off guard, and I said, "Well, sure, absolutely." And she prayed for me, put her hand on it, and I just walked away from that, and I didn't get healed. It didn't disappear. I mean, I'd like to tell you it disappeared, but it didn't disappear, and I eventually had it removed. But the point is, she took a step of faith. I thought to myself, would I go up to a stranger and say, "Can I pray for you? I'd like to pray for you." And I say, "Lord, it was a message, an encouragement for me to step out in faith. We're so timid." I'm speaking for myself. You know how you are, but I'm timid. "Well, you're the pastor. You shouldn't be timid." "Well, you know, we have our limitations. But Lord, encourage us to step out in faith and exercise, praise God." The Holy Spirit wants to encourage us here this morning. And I want to go to 1 Peter, the first chapter, that he expresses to these strangers in Asia Minor. This letter was written to the churches, and it was spread about and read in different places. And perhaps some that heard this letter being read were there on the day of Pentecost when Peter got up and preached the first sermon and returned back to their cities. Who knows? But here he writes that we're born again to a lively hope. In the third verse of the first chapter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." You've been born again into a lively hope, a hope beyond the grave, a hope that maketh not ashamed, an inheritance that is uncorrupt, incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We have an eternal home, praise God. Peter is writing this to the church. He says, church, I just want to tell you, remind you of this. You've been given a lively hope. It's not, well, I attend church and, we have a nice fellowship there and I hear good things and they give good talks. And no, it's a lively hope. There is relationship there with Jesus Christ. We've been born into the family, into the body of Christ, and the Lord has helped us and strengthened us, and we have an eternal home that this world is not the end. There's an eternal glory that we are going to inherit someday, praise God. Kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last days. Oh, yes, praise God. That's the power of God that has kept us all these years. The power of God that has strengthened us. The power of God that keeps us going, praise God. It's not in anything we have, but it's the power that was deposited in us when the Holy Spirit came in. Praise God. And I want to go to the 13th verse very quickly and appeal for a holy life, because now that you are born again, now that you have inherited this, it's not going to be a bed of roses. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a cakewalk, as they say in the world. And you've got a target on your back. It's not only do we suffer from all the things that go on in the world, the disappointments and the distractions and the problems of raising a family and earning a living and all those things, but also you have the enemy of your soul, Satan, who wants to rob you of your victory, rob you of your salvation, rob you of your joy. He's going to oppose you on every front. He's going to set traps for you. He's going to lay in wait and try to discourage you. He's going to make you see the dark side. And he's going to try and drag your faith down to the ground to the point to the fact that you maybe I just want to give up. But Peter writes, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, praise God. Gird up the loins of your mind. Brother and sister, we are in a battle. We are in spiritual warfare. The moment you turn your life over to Christ, the moment you begin to follow him, you have entered the battlefield. The enemy is going to try and do everything he can to defeat you. But oh, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the power in that name. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. It keeps us going, praise God. And he says to be holy, not fashioning yourselves as obedient children, patterning yourself after Jesus Christ. Not the former lusts, not the things in which we did before we came to Christ. No, no. We've been born again. We've been made new creatures in Christ. Old man has passed away. The new man is going to take over. But we have to allow him to work. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to manifest his power. Would you go with me to the second epistle, the first chapter now? You've been born into a lively hope. You're going to put on, you're going to gird up the loins of your mind to fight the battle. And he reminds us in this second epistle, he says, third verse, pardon me, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers but of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I want to stop right there. His divine power, the Holy Spirit power, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God has called us to live holy and righteous and to be an example and a testimony. And he also equipped us. He gave us all things. The Word of God tells us he gave us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That we're not, he says, he didn't ask us to do something. There's no possible way we could do it. He didn't ask us to live righteous and holy and separate from the world and give us the weapons and the things that we need to be able to do that. He equipped us, praise God. The Holy Spirit is power. And the Holy Spirit will help us, praise God. And we have access to the throne of heaven, praise God. When we pray, when we get in touch with the Lord, praise God, he begins to encourage and restore and speak to us. I've given you, Peter writes, he's given you all the things you need so that you are not going to be defeated. Brother Steve read Wednesday night, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors through Christ, praise God. It's through Jesus, what he did on the cross and his resurrection, his ascension, praise God. And he sent the Holy Ghost. What Jesus did, the plan of salvation, that you and I can live the life, a holy life, a righteous life, and be victorious, praise God. Oh, praise God. What an encouragement. Oh, Lord, thank you for the plan of salvation. It's not following creeds and doctrines and memorizing this and memorizing that. No, it's a life to be lived, praise God. A life, pardon me, a life to be experienced. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us as followers of Christ, Lord, to implement those things in our lives, not to sit idly by, but to say, oh, Lord, use me for the kingdom. Mature me, Lord. Develop me, Lord, in the Spirit. That I might be a force, a testimony, and a witness for you. Praise God. And then I want to go to the last chapter, third chapter. And he reminds the Christians in this third chapter. Let me start from the beginning, just a few scriptures. He said, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in the which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and in the commandments of the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God as heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And you stop and ponder about that for a moment. You see, God steps out of the realm of time. God created time. He created time so that the creation could understand and have a benchmark. But God is out of the realm of time. One day is 1,000. God sees it all. The beginning to the end is all the same to him. He sees it all. I can't comprehend all that. I can't figure it out, but that's God. And he sees it all. And he's saying, and the eternal clock is ticking. The eternal clock is ticking. Let me read the next verse before I comment some more. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can we say amen to that this morning? Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God is patient. patient beyond patient. You see, he created man with a free will. And he will not overstep that free will. You can decide to walk out of this church and never come back again. That's your decision. You can do that right now. God will not stop you. He will put everything in your path. He will send people after you. Prayers will come after you. But if you're determined to walk away from God, you can do it. But you have free will. And God allows the free will, as with all the things he does, to encourage us, to put people in our path, have the word of God come to us, have a song touch our hearts, have someone witness to it, have us see a miracle sometime. Some way that God is reaching out to us, he allows that to take place, and he is patient. But the eternal clock is ticking, and time is running down. And the word of God says, I believe it's in 24th chapter. I can quickly find it. Of Matthew. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Obviously, the gospel hasn't been preached everywhere yet because we're still here. So there's work to be done. Amen. And this morning, I find this word encouraging, not willing that any should perish. Because if you're like me, and I believe you are, you have loved ones that you're praying for. Loved ones who don't know Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. Loved ones who are out of the ark of safety. Loved ones who are not following God in any way. And you're praying for them. I'm telling you this morning, don't be discouraged. Because God's agenda, God's heart, not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any be lost, but all come to repentance. And I say, Lord, would you help us this morning? Encourage each and every one of us. Don't be discouraged praying for your loved ones. Don't give up. Don't write them off. Don't get downhearted. Oh, Brother Ron, it's hard. I know it is. I know it is. Every time one of my family members is missing from the service, it affects me. It affects me, and perhaps it affects you too. But you know what? The Lord is just saying, as we read, gird up the loins of your mind. You got to pray a little harder. You got to believe a little more. You got to trust God. You got to hold on to the promises of God. You got to stay strong and say, oh, Lord, help us. Help us. Praise God. Brother Steve read Wednesday night. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, one of my favorite verses. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. God's heart, not willing that any should perish. Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write these words to these strangers scattered abroad in Asia Minor. Not willing that any should perish. God's heart is for everyone to be saved. God's heart, can you imagine the discouragement God should feel? The people that walked away from this gospel, people that turned their back, people that curse his name, people that are so anti-God. What we see today is so abominable, it's disgusting. And yet God is still arms open, not willing that any should perish this morning. Oh Lord, help us. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your mercy that was so great. How many times has God come after you? How many times has God sought you out? God saw you where you were. You were far from God. You didn't know him. You may have come from a different religion. You may have come from no religion. You may have come from a dark past. No Bible instruction, no Sunday school, nothing. But God saw you afar off, oh hallelujah, not willing that any should perish. And somehow this morning, you're here, praise God. You're here because of God's love and mercy, because of God's heart. And you know what I love? He has patience for the saved. Because God needs patience with us too, amen? How many times have we disappointed the Lord? I'm going to talk about myself. How many times have I disappointed the Lord? Many times. Many times. But God is always, always comes after us. Always encourages us. Always sends a word, a song, a testimony. Just like when Peter cursed the last time, he denied the Lord three times and went out the last time. The Bible says he left cursing. Oh, no, I'm not with them. I'm not with that man. No, you got me wrong. It's not me. And finally just kind of threw in the towel and said, I go fishing. And when Jesus resurrected, and I believe it was the disciples around him, he says, and go tell Peter. Tell Peter. I'm alive. Praise God. Praise the one who cursed him. The one who denied him three times. The one who walked away. The one who said, Lord, I'll never leave you. I'll stand by you. And yet he walked away and God, Jesus said, and go tell Peter. Oh, what compassion, what love this morning. I'm going to close right here. Brothers, sister, would you come forward? A reminder, the eternal clock is ticking. There is an end point. He says, stir up your pure mind. I want to remind you what the apostles, what the writings, what the teachings you heard. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Praise God. And there's work to be done because the number is not yet complete. We're still here. The number is not yet complete. Oh, help us to be workers in your vineyard. Help us, Lord, to be a witness, a testimony, and to spread the good news. Lord, help us to step out in faith and witness. As I'm speaking to you, the Holy Spirit is convicting me. There's times, there's opportunities you have. I want you to use them. Don't worry about the outcome. Don't worry about how they receive it. Don't worry about all that. You leave that in my hands. You just speak what I put on your heart to say. Praise God. Not willing that any should perish. Not willing. Oh, Father. You know, it all fits together when you think of Jesus allowing his son to come to earth in the form of a man and die a cruel death. To pay the price for your sin and my sin. We got to go back to the cross and what that meant. The blood that was shed was to pay the price of your sin and my sin, that you and I could walk freely and be reconciled back to the Father and experience this glorious salvation. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. What love. What mercy, what compassion. Lord, help us, strengthen us, encourage us this morning. May his name be praised.